Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John, how are you?
I'm great, but not having as much fun as you guys are.
No, it's always a blast when we have our fourth co-host, Kirby Allen Kirby, with us on remote.
What a dope.
Always always full of stories. So is John when it comes to the NFL. You can join him, 615-737-1045, our number, 737-1045. John McClain, presented by FreelandChevy.com.
So, John, Vontaze Burfict, a big story over the weekend. Rightfully suspended for the year, do you think, from the NFL?
Absolutely. Now, he's appealed it. The independent arbitrator will hear it, but I don't know how he can look at all the evidence, the history, the thing about all the illegal hits that weren't caused him to get suspended. So I think, yes, now maybe the arbitrator will reduce it to 8 or 10 games, but I'll be surprised if he plays anymore because he's always hurt his team more than he's helped.
So, John, what did you make of the answer from Deshaun Watson? We discussed this earlier with the Houston reporter explaining coverages.
Thought it was great. I wish more players and coaches would do that.
Yeah.
He took his time up there to make it, explain it as well as he could. And I thought the young guy that asked that question, he wanted to know where Bill O'Brien or a lot of other players would have shot it down. And that's just another example of the kind of guy that Watson is. Also, 3.5 hours after the game, Watson came out onto the field. There were like 5 of us left in the press box, and he had his quarterback guru from Atlanta was in town for the game, and they went back out on the field 3.5 hours later and were out there working for at least an hour. When I left, they were still out there going over things because Watson had his worst game, I thought, since he became a starter.
John, he was out there working post-game on the field. What were they doing? Why did he stay out so late after the game? And just walk us through that story.
Well, we haven't been able to talk to him about it. We'll do that tomorrow. But he played bad. He had his quarterback guy in town. They went out there, and they were going over everything he'd done wrong and what he should have done. And I thought that was great.
Very curious about the Minnesota Vikings. Zimmer was unhappy with them not running the ball more last year. They had signed Stephon Diggs to a big contract. Kirk Cousins is what I call a volume thrower who seems to need to throw the ball 30 times a game to be the guy they signed. And now they changed offensive coordinator during last year, and they're going towards Cook, who's a very good player. But they've got very good receivers in Diggs and Thielen who now aren't getting the ball. And Thielen with a very pointed comment talking about, the need to place a deep ball well in the context of all of this, really talking about Cousins. Why is Zimmer changing, so determined to turn them away from something that had them a game away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Mike Zimmer fired John DeFilippo, and he elevated Kevin Stefanski, the quarterback coach, to coordinator. Then he brought in Gary Kubiak, and Gary Kubiak brought in 2 of his coaches for the offensive line and tight end. Kubiak was supposed to help them run the ball better, but they don't have good balance. It's all or nothing. To me, Cousins is who he was with Washington. He's not a big-game quarterback. He doesn't win games against good teams. For the Bears, to lose Mitch Trubisky and bring out Chase Daniel and dust him off and still be able to win that game was unbelievable. Obviously, Chicago's defense is good, but Minnesota should have scored more points. And until they find the balance that keeps the receivers happy and takes advantage of Dalvin Cook's exceptional running, people are going to be unhappy.
John, the game that surprised me the most this week was Oakland going to Indy and winning prior to a big trip that they're taking to London, where they flew just directly from Indy to London, I believe. How surprised were you that the Raiders went on the road and won against the Colts?
Burfict flew right back.
Yeah, he landed in London and turned around.
I was stunned because the Colts had a great opportunity, as did the Texans, win at home against the losing team, and you're in first place by yourself. Both blew it. The game that surprised me the most was 1 week after losing to Daniel Jones, in his first start, Buccaneers go across the country, they go to L.A., and they put 55 points on Wade Phillips' defense. I've never seen that.
And the Colts, they were down Darius Leonard and Malik Hooker, but also T.Y. Hilton. They are now 0-5 when Hilton does not play, and they had no deep threat with Hilton not on that field, and the wide receivers dropped a lot of passes within that offense. That's why they end up losing.
That being said, Jonathan, Jacoby Brissett brought them within 7 points twice in the fourth quarter. He had 3 touchdown passes overall. They also lost Marlon Mack at halftime. So they almost won. Still, it's inexcusable to lose to the Raiders at home, just like here in Houston. It was inexcusable to lose to the Panthers.
To the phones. Paul will lead us off. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, brother? I got a question for Big John. Hey, John, I'm a diehard Bears fan. Been for ages. I love the Bears, and they're my team. Have you heard anything of what they're going to do about a backup quarterback? Are they going to let Daniels and maybe bring up Tyler Bray? I'm sure he's probably on the practice squad. Or I'm just going to see if you've heard anything that they might sign somebody. And I'll hang up and listen, okay, my friend? Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much. Chase Daniels, a longtime backup quarterback. He's made more than $32 million as a backup. He's bounced around, but he's very reliable. He's like an extra coach. He was ready to go in. He didn't do anything stupid to lose the game. They'll go with him, but they sure might sign a veteran to play behind him.
Yeah, right now they're just carrying 2 quarterbacks, but Bray would be the option for them.
They'll add Trubisky's.
He is on the practice squad. Bears.
And Trubisky's made the trip, but he's not. He's not playing.
Yeah, and if they wanted to bring the guy up, the caller Paul, he brought up Bray. Bray is on their practice squad where they can make that move. Let's go to and by the way, John, there are many out there that think it doesn't really matter who plays quarterback for the Chicago Bears. They're going to be about the same team. Do you agree?
Now, I think Trubisky's a really good runner, so he presents problems in that capacity where Chase Daniel's not. And their running game's okay, but their defense is great. Khalil Mack is pumped to be going against the Raiders.
Khalil Mack has the same number of forced fumbles and sacks as the entire Raiders team, the defense, does since they traded him.
It's amazing. If the Bears are, in fact, about the same with Chase Daniel right now, what does that say about Mitch Trubisky? And also, how big of a compliment is that to that Bears defense?
That's it.
Maybe
that's
more than anything else.
It's more about that defense, yeah. Let's go to Adam next up. Hey, Adam.
Hey, John. Appreciate it, man. Hey, I'm just curious. Why does Marcus and Steve get treated so much differently? I was a huge McNair fan. And I'm guilty of it, but I just want to know why they treat those two so different.
What do you mean treat those two differently? Are you talking about the fans? He hung up.
I remember several games where McNair would get booed.
Steve McNair got abused by the fans and the media early in his career to a point where he wanted to quit. And Jeff Fisher talked him out of it when he got hurt, and they cheered because Neil O'Donnell was coming in.
I got a great answer. McNair went to a Super Bowl, and McNair won an MVP.
Well, I wanted to ask the caller, too, what context he's talking about, because he said he was a big McNair fan, too. Because I would argue McNair got treated far worse, even though he went to a Super Bowl and won MVP.
He was booed in the first game here in Nashville.
People don't want to hear it either, especially in this day and age where things have gone in a worse direction. There's race stuff involved with McNair.
Sure.
Here.
Well, and there's also
especially pitted against
there's
O'Donnell.
Also Neil O'Donnell stuff, a guy who went to a Super Bowl as a quarterback. Has there ever been true clamoring for the backup in Nashville other than a little bit of Ryan Tannehill in preseason and early this year?
Yeah, the backup sucked.
Right. But that's my point. That's more of a compliment to Neil O'Donnell with that. But Marcus Mariota hasn't been booed off the field at home or fans all chanting for the backup quarterback to come in.
Oh, I think Marcus has been largely beloved.
On the flip side, though, the sentiment is McNair played through every injury imaginable, even if he didn't practice. And even though Marcus did that last year, the idea he's no Steve McNair.
Game. Yeah.
Steve McNair would have played the last game.
Right.
I'm not saying that Marcus Mariota made the wrong decision to not play. That's his decision to make.
Right.
Steve McNair, I think we all would say, would have played that game.
John, isn't it hard to believe that every team in the AFC South is 2-2, and that's the first time it's happened since the merger for any division through the first four games of an NFL season?
It's the epitome of mediocrity. 2-2-2-2. Anybody can win it. Anybody can finish in last place.
Which is kind of what we thought coming into the year, right, John?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that Indianapolis would win it until Andrew Luck announced his retirement. Then I thought the Texans should win it. And the fact is, the Texans stunk it up so bad against the Panthers at home. I don't know when the Texans are going to win and when they're going to lose, but I do know this. Everybody is capable. What I can't wait to see is if the Jaguars continue to win with the mustache, do they bench him when Nick Foles is ready to play?
It's a good question. I don't see how you can.
I don't either. You wait for him to take a downturn if he does.
Speaking of the mustache, I was on Jacksonville's website earlier today looking up Terry Robiskie on that staff. They have a promo on their website, Minshew Mania Tickets. You can get tickets to the next two home games at the cheapest available ticket rate, whatever they have available, and it comes with a headband, a fake mustache, and a field pass to go get your picture on the field before the game as Gardner Minshew.
Strong.
Strong. Also, ticket sales in Jacksonville, not strong. That's how I read that.
It's hard to find a sold-out venue across the league.
You're right.
There were empty seats in Atlanta.
Atlanta was not good.
Well, Logan Ryan said there was no home field advantage.
No.
For the Falcons at all.
Hey, that's something I would say, just as an aside, to the Nashville folks who want that palace. And again, Nashville's gaining on Atlanta, but it's not Atlanta in terms of size. If Atlanta can't fill it, you know, I mean, after the newness wears off.
Well, Buffalo's going to fill the stadium this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's happening.
This stadium.
Let's go to Bert. Hey, Bert.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hello, John. Hello, Bert. My question is, did you ever get the chance to meet Lyle Alzado? And if you did, maybe get a chance to interview him? And also, the second question is, would Lyle Alzado have survived in today's NFL culture?
I've never met Lyle Alzado, but I interviewed him because he played on those great Raiders teams as well as the Broncos. And I think this about people in the past who were great players at the time or dirty players at the time or conservative coaches who were great, I believe they would have adapted to the way the rules are today. I think the players of the pre-rules changes where they protect the quarterbacks and the receivers and they're worried about concussions compared to when you could hit everybody in the head anytime you wanted to, I think today those players would adapt. Maybe somebody would have been like Vontaze Burfict and not adapted and just keep getting fined and suspended. But by and large, most people adapt to the rules of their generation.
John, in terms of surprises, what about the Browns' offensive performance against Baltimore, putting up 40 points?
It was a surprise, especially considering the bad performance they were coming off of. Freddie Kitchens, I guess, changed the way he called plays to have Mayfield get rid of the ball quicker. They ran the ball better, benefited by Nick Chubb's 88-yard run. But right now, Pittsburgh last night looking as good as the Steelers did against the Bengals. It looks like a three-way race for the AFC North.
John, how about Tampa Bay winning against the L.A. Rams? And not just winning, but putting up 55 points on that Rams defense.
All the criticism of the Rams, and it's weird to be criticized when you're 3-0, was about Sean McVay's offense. And then Winston throws 4 touchdown passes at the Coliseum. They score 55 points. They give up 40. It was a shootout, obviously. I would imagine the Rams will bounce back in a division right now that's got Seattle at 3-1, San Francisco at 3-0, that they'll bounce back. But I don't know what to make of the Buccaneers 1 week after Bruce Arians gave a game to the Giants with some bad coaching decisions. It's just amazing the inconsistency, the roller coaster of the NFL. There's a couple of things you can count on. New England and Kansas City are the best teams, and Miami is the worst of the worst, but Cincinnati and Washington, they're awful bad too.
Where do you look at Browns, Ravens now? Obviously, head-to-head, we just saw a result, but tied at the top of that division now. What do you think?
Lamar Jackson did not have a good game. Maybe he's come back down to earth. Maybe it's a mirage caused by Cleveland's defense. We'll have to see if he can bounce back and then stay consistent. The Browns have too much talent to be a bad or mediocre team. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but we all know they got a lot of talent. And that's the way people expected them to play. And I think based on the way Mason Rudolph played for the Steelers last night, albeit against a terrible team, Pittsburgh's going to have a say about who wins that division.
13-2-2 teams, people want that to mean something big. Does it?
Not this early in the season, no. They'll be separated. Where do we get to the midway point, and then we think we know more? As we say all the time, it's always been tried and true. It's not what you do in September and October, but November and December when teams start to suffer injuries and they have to adjust.
I do. I get the sense right now through a month, and there's a lot of teams and some key teams that we're used to seeing in the postseason playing some backups at quarterback. Paul, Chad, you chime in too. I get the sense that those teams are more optimistic right now than maybe what we thought they would be a year or two ago, given the league's quarterback situation. The backup quarterback situation in this league for years has not been good, but yet there's this youth movement right now where the backups are getting an opportunity, John, and those teams are still optimistic with what they have in place.
Kyle Allen's 3-0 for the Panthers as a starter last game of last year and the last 2 weeks of this season. The Mustache is 1-1 in Jacksonville. Teddy Bridgewater is 2-0 with victories over Seattle and Dallas. I believe Drew Brees is supposed to come back after the bye week, which is like 6 weeks away, and they were hoping to tread water with Bridgewater, but their defense is playing great. They're running the ball well. They win in Seattle, then they beat the Cowboys, and those two teams are combined 6-2, so we can't count out the Saints, but to me, the AFC is clearly better than the NFC, especially at the top with the Patriots and the Chiefs.
He left out Daniel Jones there and Hoskins, rookies.
Rookies,
yeah. who were waiting and taking over for lesser guys. On the other side, Rudolph, I don't care what he's doing against the Bengals. Let's see him do it against somebody substantial. And Barkley's going to be a big, significant drop off.
Well, to me, there's a big difference. Like, you got almost three different categories. You got the career backups, Chase Daniel, Matt Barkley, right? You've got the young up and coming rookie that you're giving him the reins early, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins. And John, correct me if I'm wrong, but Teddy Bridgewater seemed like a guy that they were comfortable handing the team over to once Drew Brees retires or he's done. That's a guy you bring in. What?
He's the highest paid backup quarterback in the NFL for a reason. The other category to me are the former starters trying to get jobs again, like Bridgewater and Tannehill. There's quite a few of those as well.
But you left out Allen and Minshew, who are kind of the wild
exactly.
party type.
Those are the two that make no sense.
And they're exciting.
Yeah, Minshew and Allen are the ones that are, to me, are the only ones that are complete surprises. Daniel Jones has been a good surprise, but those are the two you would have no expectation. You'd think there'd be an enormous drop off from starter to those guys, and they've been pretty good.
They might be better.
Kyle Allen transferred from A&M, and he goes to the University of Houston. He was benched for a guy named Kyle Postma, and then he decided to pass up his senior year and enter the draft, even though everybody knew he wouldn't get drafted. And it's amazing to me that he's playing so much better in the NFL than he did at Texas A&M and the University of Houston, and that's a credit to opportunity for him, but also they're doing a tremendous coaching job. And it's the same way with Mississippi Mustache. They're doing a good coaching job, but on the other hand, watching him make some plays off schedule, you know, that's not coaching. That's instincts, and that's just him being aware and being able to deal with pressure. And he's, to me, the best story in the NFL right now.
John, thank you as always. We will catch up with you on Friday, and we'll preview Week 5. Hard to believe we're already a quarter way in the season.
Hey, congratulations to the Titans for winning that game, and the Texans are hoping they softened up the Falcons for them, because if the Texans lose at home two in a row to Carolina and Atlanta, they'll be ready to run up Bill O'Brien out of town. Thank
Falcons
you
not very good, John. We may see Mike Mularkey as a head coach again, which we would have said would never happen.
You guys have a good week.
Thanks.
Thank you, John. John McClain, follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL.